Hello, everybody, and welcome to Real Thoughts with Chris. I am your host, Chris, of course. First things first, I want to get out of the way, is I'm sorry that this podcast, I don't know why I was going to say video, but I'm sorry this podcast came out late. I previously stated in my last podcast, I believe I'm getting married, and so we are doing some last-minute wedding things here and there. We just had a barbecue Saturday. So yesterday, where her family and my family met, so that kind of took up my whole week because we were getting ready for that and things. Not this week, but next week, I have a wedding I have to attend, so that podcast will possibly be coming out late again on another Sunday. I want to get some things out of the way regarding the podcast itself. I normally used to do I would do the podcast Thursday night and release it Friday. I think now, since I've done this a couple times, I'm going to do the podcast Friday night and release it early Saturday morning. I have stated before that I work weekends. So normally Friday night, I have to stay up late to get my body ready for the weekend, where I will stay up until maybe 6, fall asleep, and then wake up later on in the evening Saturday. So it gives me longer time to work on the script and add things or change things that I don't like regarding other reviews, if any movie news came up that I needed to talk about. So that's possibly going to be in the future now. Possibly next week, it'll be another review. So check out for Saturday. And then the week after is when I have my wedding. Not my wedding, but my cousin's wedding that I have to attend, as I just said. So that'll probably be coming out on a Sunday. So for today, I have my review over the movie Christopher Robin that came out this week. Along with some movie news, it has been kind of slow, but I got a few things I want to talk about. Regarding games, I'm going to be reviewing the Doom 2016 game, which of course came out 2 years ago. I am currently in the process of working my way through Red Faction Guerrilla, the remastered edition, Mafia 3, along with its DLC content, Shadow of War, which is a sequel to Shadow of Mordor, and a game I just kind of found out about. It is a Japanese import-only game, so it's going to take me a little bit longer since there's a language barrier, of course. But it is a survival game where you must escape a city being attacked by classic Japanese monsters such as Ultraman, Gamera, Godzilla, all of that nature. So, knowing me, you know, I'm going to love that game. But if you want to check it out to get, like, an idea of what I'm going to be talking about, the game, the English translation for the game is called City Shrouded in Shadows. So check out for that, possibly. So I am working my way currently through those games. Along with, for the next podcast, me and my fiancé will possibly be seeing Happy Time Murders this Tuesday, the puppet detective comedy. So, possibly next Saturday, when you guys will listen to the podcast, it'll be over, Happy Time Murders, and whatever game I'm able to play and finish from now until then. So, meet me over in the corner, since we got all that way, for my thoughts on Christopher Robin and the little bit of movie news I gotta talk about. Alright, so I'm going to do movie news first just to get it out of the way, since I actually have quite a bit to say about the Christopher Robin movie. Now, the only thing I really have to talk about is, I guess they have put Guardians of the Galaxy 3 on a definite hold. I guess something's going on along the lines with the actors. I know one big one is Dave Bautista. I know who plays Drax. I know he's really taking it hard that James Gunn got removed from the project due to all that stuff going on with him regarding, I don't even honestly know, it was a Twitter post from 10 years ago that, like I said, I don't know all the facts, so I don't want to get into it, but I do know that Batista himself has declared that I don't think he wants to be in the movie, so I think they're trying to find a replacement for him. And I think Chris Pratt, possibly, from what some people are saying, is kind of iffy about being on the project since of James Gunn firing and what's going on with Dave Batista. Another thing I want to talk about is regarding the new Predator movie that's coming out this year. Apparently, it's predicted or there's an opening, like somebody's already, people have already seen the movie for somehow, unless it released not stateside already. But apparently it's grossed less, or it's either grossed less or is going to gross less than the Alien vs. Predator movies that came out in the early 2000s. So, I don't know how to take that, really. Like I said before, there are some things I'm looking forward to this movie, and there are some things I'm really kind of, I wouldn't say against, but I'm afraid of. Most notably being the first trailer that came out, and how it just looked very kind of crappy and very kiddish. Another is the Super Predator thing. Like I said, a lot of people had kind of a hatred for, I guess, the Predators movie because of the Super Predators and how it didn't focus on the ones that we fans know. The subspecies that is in the original Predator and Predator 2. Now, with that out of the way, I want to get into the movie review for Christopher Robin. Now, Christopher Robin was directed by Mac Foster, or I think it's Mac, or it's Mark. Mark Foster, who directed World War Z, featuring Brad Pitt, and Machine Gun Preacher, which featured Gerard Butler. The actors in the movie, this is only going to be the top billed actors, was, of course, Ewan McGregor, who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequel trilogy. Haley Atwell, who plays Christopher Robin's wife, Evelyn, and she is most famous for her role as Peggy Carter in the Captain America films. And then this little girl, she plays Madeline Robin. I think her name's Bonet Carmichael, and this is really her only big film that she's been in. She was in Darkest Hour, the Winston Churchill movie, but other than that, this is really, she's only has, I think, has been in 5 films, and I think this is the only one where she's actually had a leading role. Now, I want to get this out of the way first regarding this movie. I would not say take your kids to this. This doesn't really seem like a kid's movie. I know it's kind of marketed that way, but after watching it, there were some kids in the theater with me and my fiance. They were there with their parents, and they got kind of bored. This, like I said, isn't really a kid's movie. There are some funny scenes, especially regarding Winnie the Pooh, of course, you know, and Tigger, and all our, you know, familiar friends from the 100 Acre Woods. But this actually deals with very, very mature and adult themes, which I was surprised. I thought this would be, from what I think I've been kind of following this movie for a while. Or I know I heard about it a couple, I think 2 years ago, possibly, 1 or 2 years ago. And I thought it was originally going to be about how the book Christopher Robin was written. But it's not. It's actually, a brand new tale that they made for Winnie the Pooh. And the movie follows, it opens up. I'm not going to get too much into spoilers, so I'm not going to give anything really away. But I will let you know that the film opens up with a young Christopher Robin. And it is actually pretty good. I think it's about 15 minutes long. And it's just him having, it's something, you know, if you watch the cartoon, it's very mirroring of the cartoon. You know, it's just them having like a little party and things like that. But yes, it first starts off with a young Christopher Robin. And then it goes into a montage where we see Christopher gets older. There is some violence in the movie, and not very much. And it's not like bloody or anything. But you see him grow older, you see him meet his wife, you see him have a kid, and you slowly see Christopher Robin himself going from a happy, fun-loving kid, of course, into, you know, a mature adult that has responsibilities that he needs to take care of. Now, I said where this movie follows adult themes, and has some mature, you know, like I said, mature themes, is that this movie deals with things such as war. Christopher Robin was, I think it was World War II at the time, because there is a, like I said, there when you see him mature, you see, when they do the montage, they do show him going off to war and fighting in war. Another thing this movie deals with is abandonment and it has some subtext of divorce and loneliness. As the movie, the main plot of the movie is that Christopher Robin works for a suitcase manufacturing company, and while he is working there, he is the manager. He is tasked, because I guess the company is going under, he has to find a way to save the company from losing money. So he is given the job of trying to figure out how to cut costs by possibly firing people if need be. So it is very, he has a very, you know, strenuous task at hand. But not only that, he has, like I said, since he has gotten older, he's gotten more responsibilities he has to, you know, maintain, such as, you know, keeping his family together, keeping the job, you know, keeping up with work, because that's something he needs to do to support his family. But he's kind of lost sight of it, especially with his task given at hand. He kind of neglects his family. He doesn't really pay attention to his wife or daughter. It seems he's always picking work over them, not really focusing, like I said, on his family. He kind of abandons them in a sense. His daughter feels like she doesn't care. The wife, you know, she feels like she doesn't even have a husband anymore. He's always at work or dealing with something that has to do with work. So, with the plot going that he has to find a way to cut cost, his family he has to skip out on going with his family to his childhood home in Sussex. And through this, when his family, his wife and daughter are gone, you know, he's stuck at work, you know, trying to deal with this. Winnie the Pooh magically returns. And Pooh enters his life in a kind of way, not necessarily to teach him the values of, you know, the joys of life, to try not, you know, try to take things slow. He kind of just appears randomly as the movie, because of something to do with Pooh wakes up and realizes everybody's gone from the Hundred Acre Woods, Piglet and all them. He goes to the door that, you know, you've seen, of course, in the cartoon that Christopher Robin comes through, and ends up in Christopher Robin's home in London, which Christopher Robin will eventually meet Pooh. And it's very heartbreaking, actually, the first time they meet, because, like I said, Christopher Robin is mature. Pooh's not. Pooh's something for a little kid. So you have this man who, you know, is very serious and kind of like a stick in the mud, interacting with a bear who's, you know, not very smart and not very bright. And there is some pretty heartbreaking scenes, actually, regarding their dynamic that they have going on. But it is, as heartbreaking as it is, there are very heartwarming scenes from how they made Christopher Robin's character. Now, along with the adult and kind of mature themes, like I said, with the war and abandonment, there are some very depressing jokes, most of them involving Eeyore, which, if you remember from the cartoon, was supposed to be the depressing character. He was always sad. But he, there are some jokes of suicide in this movie. I know that sounds very weird, especially since, you know, based off kids' characters. But I'm going to give a small tidbit of a scene. Christopher, if there's no spoilers, it's not having to do with anything with the story, but it's when Christopher Robin first discovers Eeyore. He is walking along the riverside and sees Eeyore in the river, floating away. So Christopher Robin says, "Eeyore, do you need any help?" "No, I'm just heading towards the waterfall." "Well, are you going to be, Eeyore, are you going to be okay?" "Yeah, but I'm just going to go with the flow. I might die." And so, of course, Christopher Robin has to run in there and, you know, save him. And he's just, it happens every day. The wind just blows me into the river because it knows I can't swim. So it's just kind of like, that's really depressing. Another scene takes place later in the movie. Eeyore gets dropped on the floor, or falls on the floor. And they ask him, like, "Hey, are you okay, Eeyore?" And he's like, "Yeah, this is where I belong, down on the floor." And it's, I'm not trying to sound funny, because the way he delivers it, you know, in this depressing manner, it's kind of funny, but at the same time, you're like, why are you so depressed for a kid's character? But, yeah, so there are some kind of depressing jokes, because he really does bum you out when he's on screen, but at the same time, like I said, every kind of, like, heartbreaking, depressing scene they have in the movie, they always bring it back with, like, a very heartwarming scene. That, in its sense, kind of leaves this movie in a weird spot. As much as I like the movie, there are some things I really did not like the movie with the movie itself. Christopher Robin's character, there are a couple parts in the story itself where we think Christopher Robin's going to change, because throughout the movie, he's always constantly working. Even with Pooh, Pooh asks him, because Christopher Robin carries a briefcase around, because in the briefcase contains the documents, you know, whatever he's been working on regarding who he needs to fire and things like that. He's always working on it, and there's some scenes where he will play with Pooh, you know, kind of act like a child again, but then it's immediately brought back by, like, I still need to get to work. And he doesn't really have any character growth, because as much growth as they give him, he always seems to go back. He just falls back into the, you know, generic spot he was in. So he doesn't really change until the very end of the movie. There's no halfway point to the movie where he changes for the better. He changes at the very end, because there's a big plot point that happens that kind of brings the family together. But that doesn't happen until the very end of the movie, which by this point, all the characters should have gone through their motions, you know, from going where they were at the beginning of the movie to being in a totally different spot at the end of the movie. Whereas the beginning of the movie, they stay in that same spot until the last maybe 10 to 15 minutes of the movie. So there's some character growth, but it's always brought, like, it's just, they take like 2 steps forward, but then 3 steps back almost through most of the movie, until, like I said, the last 10 to 15 minutes. So that's one thing I really didn't like with the movie. Other than that, like, I really can't negatively impact the movie, like, give a negative review on the movie regarding the depressing jokes, because that's the character itself. I can't knock a movie for the character that's supposed to be depressing, but, you know, letting your kid watch it, it's up to you on how you view that. If you want them to hear somewhat just really bummer jokes, I guess, along with that. But all in all, I have to say it was a very, very good movie. I enjoyed it thoroughly. So did my fiance. It's probably a movie that we will end up possibly buying on Blu-ray when it does come out. I grew up watching Winnie the Pooh, and finally seeing a movie that kind of, I wouldn't say necessarily mirrors my life or mirrors me and my fiance his life, but kind of seeing it as an adult, of where, yes, you do need to focus on your work and, you know, the more important things. You should also always remember to at least kind of slow down and smell the roses. Don't always run through life, you know, focused on one thing. You need to take it slow and just enjoy being alive. As, like I said in the last review I did over, not the last one, because that was an X-Files review, but the review before that with Ready Player One, there's a very good quote in that movie, and it's, I'm trying to remember it. Oh, sorry, I remember it now. It's, life's the only thing worth living because it's the only thing that's real. I agree with that, and this movie kind of makes it a point too. Slow down and live your life. So with that, you know, being the message of the movie, I really did like it. So it's an hour and I think 45 minutes long, so it is a somewhat short movie regarding Disney length anyways, because normally Disney movies are about 2.5 hours long. This barely makes it to the 2-hour mark. We watched the movie for $6. The movie theater we go to on Tuesdays, they lower their ticket prices and their concession prices, so I would say it's worth that. If you have to pay a little bit more, I'd say it's worth it. I know there are some movie theaters that pay like $25 per ticket I would say do not pay that price for the movie. I would say in that case, wait till it comes out on the rental or try to go to someplace cheaper to see it. But that is my review for Christopher Robin. Meet me over in the next review for Doom 2016. We talk about a family film going to the polar opposite of a demon first-person shooter. Thank you for listening. All right, here we are for the game review for Doom 2016. Probably the best first-person shooter I've played possibly in the last maybe 10 years. So it is a old-school shooter. Now, yes, I didn't grow up in the golden age of first-person shooters since I am only 21, but I have played them. When I was a little kid, my father used to play, I had a PS1, and I probably played some games I shouldn't have at that time, things such as Duke Nukem Time to Kill, Metal Gear Solid, the famous one on the PS1. When I got a little bit older, I play the original Call of Duties that were ported over to the consoles, such as like Big Red 1, Call of Duty 3. I wasn't until I got a little bit older, around that same time period, actually, when I discovered Angry Video Game Nerd, who is somebody I hold really in high regard, who helped me kind of, like I said, I think I said in the very first podcast I did, or second, kind of helped me become the critic I am today. He is one of the three guys that helped me do that. But through him, I kind of discovered, like I said, older movies, which I had beforehand, but he helped me kind of guide me into certain movies through his Monster Madness that he did every Halloween. That kind of helped me solidify my love of classic horror movies, but also classic video games. Through him talking about it, I also decided to go back and check some of them out. So, yes, I didn't grow up with them, but I have played them. Wolfenstein. I am a huge Duke Nukem fan, so I did play Duke Nukem 3D. I don't have the 20th anniversary edition that they released for the PS4. I haven't got my hands on it yet. I'm dying to. I just can't ever seem to find a copy anywhere around me. None of the Walmarts around me sell it. None of the GameStops around me sell it. I could order on Amazon, but I just haven't really ever thought about it. And every time I get on Amazon to order something, I end up ordering something for the house, not a video game. So, being able to play the original Doom and Doom 2, those were amazing games. I had such a blast playing them. The way the levels were laid out, how the first chapter was a sci-fi kind of esque shooter for the first map. The second map was kind of like a mix between like sci-fi and like a hellscape. And then finally, at the very end of the game, you were just straight in hell, along with the second game, which brought hell to Earth, which I'm excited because the Doom Eternal gameplay just got released, I think, a couple weeks ago. And I'm excited to see where that goes because it looks like they're following the same suit as Hell's Come to Earth. Now, the only game in the Doom series I have yet to play is Doom 64. Of course, I don't have a Nintendo 64. I could possibly get one, but then I have to find a copy of Doom 64. And the only cheapest Nintendo console I can seem to find anywhere is like $80. And as much as I want to, I can't bring myself to do it. It wasn't until, besides playing the original games, I wasn't probably until my teens when I finally played Doom 3, which was in stark contrast to Doom 1 and 2, if you had played those or if you know anything about it. Whereas Doom 1 and 2 were a circle strafe, run-and-gun shooter, Doom 3 brought it back to a more horror roots, where ammo was limited, your health, you had to really try to manage and strategize your fights so you always had health, because it wasn't always there. Now, there was some talk of this Doom 2016 being that same way. There was also talk of it being a Call of Duty clone. It wasn't until the E3, I think it was 2014 or 2015, where they first showed gameplay of it. And even then, I was still kind of iffy on it, just because as much as I love id and Bethesda, they are kind of back and forth with some games, Rage being one of them. one that I actually just played, which I will get into later. I did rent it, so I have to pick it up again if I want to really do a review on it, and I'm not sure if I want to, is Wolfenstein the New Colossus. Even though I love Wolfenstein, I haven't been a huge fan of the last two games. But anyway, I'm getting off topic, but I wasn't really sure about the Doom 2016 game until they started really more releasing some footage out for it. And I did pick it up when it first came out, but I think I played it quite a bit. And the reason I'm doing, and I loved it then, and the reason I'm doing another review on it is just, for one, after seeing the Doom Eternal gameplay, I got really into the hankering to play it again. And two, like I said, with work and the wedding, I don't want to get into really a story, and I don't want to get into a story-based game where I have to sit down and really follow the story. I just kind of want to, knock off a few, just a couple levels here and there, and I really have to pay attention, which is Doom, in a sense. You'll understand when I talk about the game. That's why it's taking me so long to get Red Faction Remastered Edition, the games I talked about at the beginning of the podcast. That is why it's taking me so long, because the wedding, pretty much. I don't want to sit down and listen to a story, because those games are very heavily story... Well, some of them are very heavily story-based. So, into the review of Doom 2016. The story, if you call it that, because they really don't... There's a story in the game, but you only have to pay attention to it. You wake up at the beginning of the game in a UAC facility, which, if you don't know what that means, UAC stands for Union Aerospace Corporation. They are overrun with demons, of course, and the Doom guy, or Doom Marine, whichever way you want to go, prefer, you are tasked with wiping out every single demon in the facility, and then going to hell itself and wiping out every single demon there. Pretty much the most angriest video game protagonist besides Kratos. So yes, you wake up, there's demons in the room with you. Your first few seconds of the game is taking a zombie's head and smashing it into where you were just laying, and then picking up a pistol and proceeding to beat the this review is going to get a little bit cuss heavy, and you pretty much literally beat the shit out of the next demon, beat the shit out of the rest of the demons in the room with you. From there, you get your suit and given some exposition, which is your only other friend, only other character really that you talk to in the game besides the sort of antagonist named Olivia Pierce, who's the one who caused the demon invasion. She's pretty much the antagonist. The only other friend you have is the one that's giving you exposition in this first scene where you get your suit on, and he's telling you, that it's overrun, you need to fix it, and you respond with punching the screen and then walking off. You don't care what he says, you're just going to go off to go kill some more stuff. And from there, you'll, of course, kill demons in very creative ways. But along, from going from the standard pistol, you'll, of course, get the shotgun, the plasma rifle, the assault rifle, super shotgun, your general Doom arsenal. Now, all I have to say about this is, like I said, the funnest FPS game I've played in the past 10 years. The shooting is freaking just so refined and so, it's buttery smooth. Every single gun in the game has just a nice punch. You feel it. I definitely recommend playing this game. But if you have a headset, switch your settings and put the headset on and just listen to the game through that, because you really just feel the punch, especially from the shotguns in the game. When they go off, you feel it in your chest. But yes, it the effects and the punch itself on each gun is there. Like I said, especially with the shotguns and the rocket launcher. Ooh, it is really good. And it's very smooth. Like I said, it's this shooting is refined and smooth. Another thing that's really smooth is this game added a feature that hasn't been in any previous Doom games called the Gory Kills, which are, say, if you shoot on a demon enough, they'll start to glow. And what you do is you pretty much walk up to them and make them wish they weren't a demon by, smashing their skull off the concrete ripping an arm off and beating him with it, or just ripping body parts off, especially if you find the Berserker power-ups, which give you extra strength, and you pretty much rip demons in half entirely. It is so good. Now, like I said, there's no story in the game. Particularly, there is some, like I said, exposition. There's not really any cutscenes, though, and there are maybe a couple sections in the game that go on for maybe 5 minutes where you're not shooting something. So, yeah, they pretty much focused on gameplay here, and it, like I said, it is so good. Another thing, besides the gore kill system, which gives you health and ammo pickup, you will acquire the chainsaw, of course. And depending on your power-ups, because there are power-ups in the game, but there's a leveling system up in the game, so say you do really well in combat, you'll gain combat points, which can be used to upgrade your weapons and suit. So you will start out with a chainsaw, but you only have 3 charges, so you can only take down low-level demons. Whereas, say you do really well in combat, you know, you get your combat score up, you get more charges on your assault, your chainsaw. So you can go from attacking low-level, like, imps and zombies to hell knights and barons and pretty much just sawing them in half, and doing so will give you more ammo and more health drops, which is very essential for the game, because if you're playing anything besides the hard difficulty, like even the easy and normal difficulty, don't play on those, play on the hard, because that is where it's most challenging, and that's where it feels true to like the old Doom, where circle strafing and everything like that really matters. That is the best way and the true way to play Doom. But yes, it is very essential to do the gory kills and the chainsaw kills. Not only that, but there are some... I'm sorry, these two reviews are kind of like off. Just, I have a script written down, but I have it set to where I have certain things I need to say, and then I just kind of have like go off topics, and I've been kind of going off with this one. From the suit, you know, the chainsaw and weapon power-ups, and demon killing, you will have amazing boss fights, of course, against the Cyber Demon and the Spider Mastermind, which are just really, really good fights, boss fights. Probably one of my favorites I've had in a first-person shooter game, of course. Now, everybody's, you know, you might be wondering if you haven't played the game. But yes, it does show up. The best gun in Doom, of course, would show up, and that's the BFG 9000. And oh my god, the first time you get to use the gun, they drop you in a room just full of demons, and you just get to shoot it, and it is wipes out everything in the room. Not only that, but it makes it explode into a gory, like, fountain of blood and bits. It is just so friggin' satisfying. Now, there is a story component, which I have just talked about. There are also 2 other components with the game to increase the longevity of it, which one's really good and one not really good. It's I'll say the campaign is number 1. There's another feature called Snap Maps, which I will say is number 2, and the last bit is multiplayer, which is number 3, which feels very friggin' tacked on. Now, from campaign, I'll go into Snap Maps, because, like I said, that is probably my second favorite mode on Doom itself. And Snap Maps is a community-created map system. You can create your own maps, or you can play maps created by other people the community have found very well. These can range anywhere from recreations of classic Doom maps to completely original maps. Now, it feels very bare bones, even when now, compared to when it first came out. When it first came out, there was some content, but now, 2 years later, there are so many community maps to play, it's actually worth, you know, sticking around for it, whereas when it first came out, there was barely any community maps. But where it feels really bare bones at is your map creation. Now, there is, you know, some tutorials along with it that you can go through, but it doesn't really explain some certain aspects of it, which is where it feels bare bones at. creation-wise, like music cues. I think one of the tutorials goes into it, but it doesn't explain it enough for you to really fully understand it without having to, you know, YouTube it from somebody who does know how to understand it, which I feel like shouldn't be in a creation map kit. I feel like the game itself should really just, you know, describe and discuss that better than how it does in the creation tutorial mode. So with the snap maps, I say it is a good addition to the game. It helps the longevity. I mean, there are maps, I think, being still added even to this day, and they'll do community spotlights where, say, your map does really well, it'll get put on the front page so people can play it, you know, and test it out and try it. And there are some really good ones, like I said, recreations of classic Doom maps. I did mess around with it here and there, and there were some maps I found that were really good. One that you should check out, I think, is called Chainsaw Massacre, and it drops you into a pit. And you got, like, I think, you can stay there for as long as you want to, but you have unlimited health. You have the haste pickup, so you move around faster, and unlimited ammo with just the chainsaw. So you can just go to town and just, you know, chainsaw demons in half for as long as you want to until you just get tired of it. And it took apparently 15 minutes for me to get bored of it before I was like, I should probably quit doing this. So yeah, there are just some good time-killing maps. There are horror maps where you don't have very many weapons, and they kind of try to do a Doom 3 thing where, you know, you'll have to run from a demon or hide from a demon and can't wait to find you, or you've got, like, a shotgun and you got 5 shells and you have to live off the gore kill system to even make it through there. There are some super challenging ones. There are some that the game designers themselves have created. There's some really weird Five Nights at Freddy's inspired maps, which I think is, I mean, that's cool if you like that, but it's just weird seeing it in a Doom game where it's just labeled as that. And the last thing I want to talk about regarding gaming with Doom is the multiplayer system, which, yes, does feel tacked on, as I did state. The reason why is it kind of feels like an afterthought. There is some thought, I guess, given into it, but it's very weird. I'm going to try to describe it. Whereas if you have played Quake or anything like that, you know there are weapon pickups where you get dropped into a map and say you have the pistol, you will run around grabbing armor and health and then, you know, your weapons. Whereas this game, you drop into a map but you already have your weapons because it does like the Call of Duty style multiplayer where it's you have a loadout of weapons where you get to pick, you know, 2 primaries this time around since it's Doom. They don't really have any secondary weapons. I guess the pistol, but they didn't. Originally, when the game came out, that wasn't in the multiplayer section. It's now been released through DLC, which if you buy the game now, you will get all 3 DLC packs for free. So that's good for you latecomers, which I know I'm getting off topic here. The game does have somewhat of a still active community. It took me, depending on what times you get on, if you get on late at night, you're having a less likely chance that you will get a game. Whereas, if you get on earlier in the night or during the day, you have somewhat of a higher chance depending on, like I said, what time frame. I got on a couple nights ago at, I think, 9:30, and I had games from then until 1 o'clock. And then after 1:30, I tried till 2 o'clock, and I could not get a single match to come up. So, like I said, just depends on time, you know, what time zone you're in, and, you know, what time does it you decide to get on to the game itself. Now, back to what I think is tacked on. It's a clash. It's old-school Doom, where you have to run around and get weapon, you know, your armor and health, but you're stuck to the 2 weapons that you picked out in the loadout, which can be anything, you know. You can have 2 shotguns, you know, the super and the combat. You can have a rocket launcher, minigun combo. Just, like I said, any combo, really. But it would have been better if they did the weapon pickup system, which they do in the game, but it's for things like the Gauss cannon and the BFG, which I feel like they should have done for all the weapons, because even now, still, the machine gun, the minigun rocket launcher combo is still very much used, even though they've added, I think, 8 more guns to the weapon loadout system. Another thing that feels very tacked on is they also have the kind of the Call of Duty style perk system, you know. But they're called runes. They used to be called armor hacks, but now they've changed it to runes, where it's like you spawn into the map with 5 armor. And each time you die, it'll add another 5 armor up to 25% armor. Or you can see your opponent's health bars and where your allies are within the map. Another one is where you can see the demon. Because the game, like I said, the multiplayer aspect spawns in certain power-ups like haste, quad damage, weapon pickups. It also spawns in things called demon runes, where before the match starts, you have to pick out your loadout, your rune, which, like I said, is the perks. And then you have demon rune, which you can play as the demon, such as the Revenant. I think it's the Revenant, Baron of Hell, a Mancubus, a Prowler, which isn't in the standard game of Doom, a Harvester, which I don't think is also, a Pinky Demon, which is pretty awesome, and a Cackle Demon. And they pop in. If you get it, you turn into a demon, which makes you more powerful, and you can do one-hit kills on everybody. And yes, they do seem overpowered, but at the same time, when you are the demon and you are pretty much wrecking the other team, you feel amazing. I played it. I was a Baron of Hell, which is pretty much your giant like Satan, if you haven't seen the games. You know, the goat legs and this, the human torso. I think I went on like a 15 kill streak where I was just going around smashing guys, you know, ripping them in half, smashing them into the concrete, which makes, you know, there are some fun aspects of the multiplayer. It's not all bad, but like I said, it does feel tacked on just because of the amount of content they had with it when it first came out. Even still now, they have added originally when the game came out, I think there were 4 different armor sets, which as you progress throughout it, you can customize your Marine to make, you know, him look different from everybody else's Marine. But through the addition of the DLC content, which added maps and armor, it just added 2 more armor sets. It didn't add extra armor for you to customize with for the vanilla multiplayer content, where, say you had an armor set labeled UAC member, you had, I think, 10 options there. And then you had another armor set called Bounty Hunter. You only had 10 options there. Well, they've added 2 new ones called Evil Cultist and Cyber Demon, and it's still just 10 options for each of those. They haven't added anything to the vanilla game, with the vanilla multiplayer components, in a sense, which I figured they would do that just to give it, you know, more variety. With that being said, that is really much my review for Doom 2016. Like I said, it is a definite pickup right now. It is only $20, I think, on the PSN store. And even if you don't get it there, if you go through GameStop or Walmart, it's still like $20 there. I picked my game copy of Doom up for, actually, I picked it up during QuakeCon, so I got it for $5. So I got it for a steal. And with the amount of content you get and how amazing the story, the campaign itself is, it is a definite pickup for any old school first person shooter fan. And I am definitely pre-ordering Doom Eternal when the pre-orders come up for that, and I will definitely do a podcast over that, because if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. They added a blade to your suit so you can now slice guys in half, and the Revenant cannon as a shoulder mounted, so you can shoot it along with a flamethrower combo, so you can light guys up on fire now too. So they have added different new ways to kill demons, and it looks incredible. So yes, when that comes up for pre-order, I'm definitely picking that up. With that being said, I'm going to do my closer and the movie trivia for this podcast. Here we are again, my friends, at the end of another episode. Thank you again for listening. It means the world to me that people are, you know, you guys are listening to my podcast. I usually try to say with every episode, you know, like it, share it, subscribe, favorite, thumbs up it, whatever, you know, way to show that you guys are out there listening. Like I said, means a lot to me, you know, helps me kind of keep doing this. Also, if you guys want me to review a certain game or movie, for those of you on Anchor, you can leave me a voice message. And I, like I said before, I will try to watch the movie or play the game as long as I can find it, or have at least the time to. You know, if you tell me to play a game, it's going to take me a little bit longer than watching a movie. Normally, for those of you new to the podcast, if there are anybody that's, you know, if there's anybody new listening to the podcast, I always try to end it with a little bit of movie trivia. And I have heard that they're doing a live action movie of this animated movie, which, of course, if you can guess it now, you know, from my trivia question, little trivia bits I'm going to give, it's going to be kind of cool. Now, so this might give it away immediately, but Pride Rock and the Gorge are both modeled after real-world landmarks, apparently, from Hell's Gate National Park in Kenya. And the song Can You Feel the Love Tonight was actually cut out of the original copy of course, The Lion King. But Elton John watched the original cut that they had printed without the song, and said that they needed to be put in there because of the scene with Mufasa, you know, and that little love scene they had going on. It just felt awkward without a song being placed there. So yes, it was almost silence through that whole little, you know, kind of rough, you know, little play, kind of cute scene with, you know, not Mufasa, but Simba, and crap, what is that female lion's name? I can't remember off the top of my head. Yes, there's a cut that has, it's just silent, or, you know, not silent, but, you know, there's no Can You Feel the Love Tonight by Elton John, which really kind of highlights and just makes that scene a lot, you know, better in regards to it not being there. Well, thank you again for listening to Real Thoughts with Chris. See you next Saturday with possibly a review of Happy Time Murders, and I think I'm a little bit closer to finishing Shadow of War, so maybe that review. Anyways, thanks for listening again, and like I said, leave me a voice message if you want any certain request. Thank you again.